Welcome to our worship today. Welcome if you join us regularly, and welcome if it's your first visit. Perhaps you've just stumbled across us on the web. We're continuing our Old Testament readings, looking at the early kings of Israel. And today, we're looking at the lament that David wrote on the death of Saul and Saul's son, Jonathan. David, like most people, if not all people, experienced both joy and sadness in his life. And our call to worship from Ecclesiastes reflects this. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens. There's a time for crying and a time for laughing, a time for weeping and a time for dancing. And our opening hymn acknowledges God's presence in all of the events of life. Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, as we try to focus our minds, it's easy that for them to shoot off in all sorts of directions. We find it hard to slow down, to remove all the clutter and concentrate on you, Lord. So in the stillness of this place, in this time, take from us the strain and the stress as we feel ourselves rest in your eternal love. And quietly, the small beginnings of praise well up as we remember what we have in Jesus Christ, that we have one who is with us, who guides and who strengthens us, who holds us through every storm in life, who leads us to everlasting life. We confess that sometimes the storms we endure are of our own making, a foolish word, a thoughtless comment, a misguided action. Then we have to live with the consequences and the guilt. Take all that stress from us too, and replace it with your forgiveness and your peace. However, sometimes the storms we have to endure are from life's events, such as illness and bereavement. Normal events, and yet filled with difficulty, hard to understand and hard to bear. At those times, may we feel your comforting hand upon us. Heavenly Father, in your hands we are safe and secure, and we rejoice in your eternal love and all-sufficient grace. And we pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
A reading from the second book of Samuel, chapter 1. David's lament for Saul and Jonathan. After the death of Saul, David returned from defeating the Amalekites and stayed in Ziklag 2 days. David took up this lament concerning Saul and his son Jonathan, and ordered that the men of Judah be taught this lament of the bow. It's written in the book of Jashar. Your glory, O Israel, lies slain on your heights. How the mighty have fallen. Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, lest the daughters of the Philistines be glad, lest the daughters of the uncircumcised rejoice. O mountains of Gilboa, may you have neither dew nor rain, nor fields that yield offerings of grain. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul no longer rubbed with oil. From the blood of the slain, from the flesh of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, the sword of Saul did not return unsatisfied. Saul and Jonathan, in life they were loved and gracious, and in death they were not parted. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep for Saul, who clothed you in finery and scarlet, who adorned your garments with ornaments of gold. How the mighty have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies slain on your heights. I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother. You were very dear to me. Your love for me was wonderful, more wonderful than that of women. How the mighty have fallen. The weapons of war have perished.
Last week we heard about David killing Goliath and so defeating the Philistines. And now we hear of the death of Saul and his son Jonathan. There was a period of a good few years between these two events, and a lot happened during that time. After David had killed Goliath, Saul took David into his own household, where David and Saul's son Jonathan formed a deep, loving friendship. David's ability on the battlefield resulted in Saul setting David over his armies, and David's military victories continued. Saul became increasingly jealous of David, especially when, after a battle, women started to sing, "Saul has killed his thousands, and David his tens of thousands." Saul was so angry and jealous that he tried to kill David. But David remained in Saul's household and played music to try to soothe Saul's angry outbursts. Saul's daughter then fell in love with David. They married. And Saul grew ever more jealous of David's continuing success. When Saul tried yet again to kill him, David escaped with the help of his wife and became an outlaw, gathering a band of men around him. Saul continued to try to hunt down David, and eventually David went to live under the protection of the Philistines, and was living under this protection when the Philistines attacked Saul's army and both Jonathan and Saul were killed. When David heard this news, he responded with the lament we've just heard. A lament that expresses both grief and probably remorse. Grief for the loss of a much-loved friend, Jonathan, and grief for the loss of his king, who had been the Lord's anointed. And remorse that his protectors had been the instrument of their deaths. David was a strong warrior and also a musician and poet. Many of the Psalms were attributed to David. He was someone who was willing to pour out his feelings and to instruct that the words of the lament be recorded for future generations. Recorded so that others would remember what had happened and also might find the lament a way of expressing their own grief. There was no thought of weakness in acknowledging loss and displaying emotion. Some modern Western cultures could learn from this. Over the last 18 months, so many of us have experienced losses. Deaths of loved ones, possibly with the inability even to attend the funerals. The hundreds of thousands of deaths of those we didn't know, some of whom died helping others. The loss of jobs or businesses, the loss of schooling, the loss of contact with others, the loss of touch and hugs, the loss of mobility or independence waiting for operations, the loss of celebration of special events, the loss of everyday life. It can often be so difficult to unlock the deep feelings that accompany loss. But sometimes various forms of art, such as poems, can express what the individual cannot. David's lament may not feature in many funerals, but other poems often do, as do certain psalms. The 23rd psalm, for instance, "The Lord is my shepherd." Poetry, religious and secular, favourite hymns and songs may all help express deep feelings and bring comfort at various times. For some, music may be a key to unlocking feelings. The march which the composer George Frederick Handel used to introduce words from David's lament in his oratorio, Saul, is a piece of music that touches me in a way that the words alone do not. In our area, we have a tradition of pipers playing laments and also of sung laments. And it isn't just poetry and music that may help unlock feelings. For some, the key may be a picture, a painting, a photograph, a film, or another type of artwork, dance for instance. Then last year, the moderator supported the artwork Scented Lament, a large rosemary wreath, which in his words was intended as a visual expression of our soul's unspoken laments. Laments for all that had been lost during the year. And many people did contribute a sprig of rosemary, a symbol of their personal loss and lament, to this wreath. Art is a gift from God and may provide channels through which the Holy Spirit can enter and heal. The start of that healing may well be the shedding of tears. Tears, another one of God's gifts. In Psalm 30 we read, "Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing comes in the morning." The Coralville Trust, an Edinburgh-based charity, recently said of those words, "There is a deep truth described here. We must feel our sadness for the joy to return. Deep in the wisdom of the Bible, we find the truths modern psychologists arrive at." We do need to let ourselves experience the reality that we're in. We do need to be honest with ourselves and also with God, allowing ourselves to feel and express the emotion, not just suppress it, even if control and self-control may be required at times. David, the strong warrior, lamented and expressed his emotion. And let us remember that Jesus wept. Jesus understands. He wept at the death of his friend Lazarus. We may weep over personal losses. Jesus also wept over Jerusalem. Jerusalem, shunning God's way and set on a path that would bring much suffering. We may lament and weep, feeling helpless, seeing the magnitude of suffering and problems in the world. But what we weep about, we care about. What we care about, we talk about. And, if God so wills, with his grace and guidance, this can lead to action, sometimes action with others, when our united tears can produce a river of cleansing and healing for ourselves and for our world. Weeping may stay for the night, but rejoicing will come in the morning. The weeping may be necessary before the rejoicing can eventually follow. Our Lord will be with us. He will weep with us and he will rejoice with us. Amen.
Let us pray. Father God, thank you for the wisdom we read and hear in the Bible stories, for the message to us from King David, who wasn't embarrassed to sing and dance for joy or to cry when his best friend died. Thank you for the words he gave us in the Psalms, words which we can use when we have none of our own in those times which we find difficult. Hard though it may be, help us to appreciate that joy and sorrow are inseparable, and that the self-same well from which your laughter and joy rise will often be filled with your tears. We give thanks for the life of Jesus, who lived as we do, only more fully, who loved as we do, only more deeply, and at far greater cost to himself, He believed and he questioned. He trusted and loved and was disappointed. He laughed and he wept and he raged. And all of this he shared with you in his intimate and public prayers. We come today in like mind to share our sorrows and our joys, to ask your blessing on those whose needs have touched our hearts in recent days. We may think of those known to us, but also across the world. This week we have read about China and the USA, where children have been taken from their families. The collapse of the flats, the apartments in Miami. And closer to home, the death of a fisherman off Egg. The death of a walker off Ben Nevis. Be with them and all who mourn their passing in this terrible ordeal. We pray for those who are mourning the loss of a loved one, and we grieve for those who have lost a parent or a child, a husband, a wife, a partner, or a friend. All those who feel they are in the pit of desolation and heartbreak. Wait with us, we pray, until the weeping has subsided, and then help us to stand up and face the world again, not forgetting what has been lost, but absorbing it into new versions of ourselves that is more gentle, more compassionate, and more understanding of others, more determined to go on living and loving and working with you to make this broken world more like your kingdom. We give thanks and ask for guidance for all those who work with bereaved people. Give them wisdom and compassion as they offer support during these dark times. Guide friends and relatives of those who are sorrowful to do and say what will be helpful to assist during that journey from sadness through calmness to joy once again, to walk alongside those on this journey of recovery. At all times, feeling your hand comforting and leading the way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We come to our offerings. Whether we're laughing or weeping, working or resting, alone or with others, let us consider what we can offer to our God. And may whatever we offer be blessed by God for the service of his kingdom. Amen. And we draw our prayers together in the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever. Amen.
Everything that wanders, everything that dreams, bring it all. that's easy, anything that's hard. Bring it all to me. Everything that's perfect, everything that's hard. Bring it all to me. Anything you're proud of, anything you're not. Bring it all to me. Everything you're hiding, everything you've got. Bring it all to me.
Whether this is a time for laughing, weeping, working, resting, may we know God's presence with us. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with us, with all who we know, and with all his children everywhere. Amen.